Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Happy Tuesday, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for your patience as I began about 15 minutes later than usual. Had to wrap up watching that FIFA World Cup match. Probably going to be late again tomorrow, just so you guys are aware. Also, any Patreon members, Care of the G Club members joining us, you'll note on your respective pages, happy hour is a half hour later than usual this evening. So 6:30 Eastern, 5:30 Lambeau time. I will see you there later tonight. But right now, I want to talk about Chris McClellan, the rookie defensive tackle who, without question, is going to be counted on at some point early this season. And I know he ran with the ones for much of the offseason program. Of course, much of that was due to the fact that Hargrave was not participating. But we talked about that quite a bit over both OTAs and minicamp, how one of the hidden benefits of so many guys missing time up front was these young guys, rookies, getting opportunities to run with the ones, to kind of get thrown into the fire, so to speak. But even when Hargrave is back at full strength, right, and you have Devontae Wyatt coming back from an injury, you're obviously hoping for steps forward from guys like Warren Brinson and Nazir Stackhouse. But you have to think the Packers, who ran McClellan at not just kind of the defensive tackle group, but nose tackle in particular, they're probably going to be counting on him, especially on early downs. I don't think, you know, anyone's going to confuse the fact that Wyatt or Hargrave are there to plug the A-gap and take on double teams and things of that nature. I suspect he'll be asked to be a little bit more penetrating than a traditional nose tackle, two-gapping, taking on double teams, etc. But that will most likely be his early entry into playing time in the NFL. And look, I love the kid's game. There's a reason the Packers took him in the third round. The upside is undeniable. But man, that is being thrown into the fire, especially early on. In week one, week two, settling in that type of a role in the rotation that the Packers are undoubtedly going to ask him to, you know, hit the ground running and be a at least significant contributor. I don't think they're going to be sitting out there expecting him to play the majority of the snaps or anything like that. But, you know, we talk quite a bit about, you know, this year's draft class, very rarely the present, you know, coming off of, oh, we drafted them in April. Now it's September and we're going to expect big things from them. We all know that is not traditionally the Green Bay way, but both McClellan and to some extent Denai Dennis Sutton will probably get opportunities that wouldn't regularly be afforded to them with the Packers simply because of where the Packers are, both, you know, personnel wise, but injury wise, guys coming back from injury or missing time due to injury when in the case of Micah Parsons. So it's something that we haven't talked quite a bit about, obviously. There's no way to know, right? I know we've heard from coaches talking about technique and the things they worked on in the offseason program. But as we always say, none of that means a whole hell of a lot until you get those pads on, especially when it comes to the battle in the trenches, what guys are able to do against NFL level competition. Man, I would suspect that's going to be trial by fire for young McClellan right out of the gate. Because again, the Packers need him to be part of the rotation, probably starting in week one. So big, big moment for a rookie to come in and undoubtedly have to contribute right away along the defensive front, a position, defensive tackle or defensive line in general, that traditionally takes quite a bit of time for any rookie to come in and acclimate to the NFL and be effective, let alone additive. So, I mean, I do not envy the young man. It is certainly going to be a challenge, but I'm excited to watch him take it on starting there at training camp in 2 weeks. That's right. Veterans report 2 weeks from today. How about them apples? Very excited. Very excited. Speaking of excited, I'm also very excited that Cheesehead TV is once again partnering with the official Green Bay Packers yearbook. Go to PackersYearbook.com. Use promo code CHTV for 10% off. That's 10% off the official Green Bay Packers yearbook at PackersYearbook.com. You know you'll want to do it. I get my copy each and every year. Can't wait to get my hands on this year's copy to read. Let's call a spade, the elegant prose of one Wes Hodkowitz and Mike Spofford. That is always a treat. Always good stuff. Make sure you get your copy. Hello to everybody in the comments section. How are you all? Thank you again for your patience. Very much appreciated. See people piling in. Thank you so much. Before I get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at Ticket King. Ticket King has been based in Wisconsin since 1992. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of these national companies. If you need Packers tickets, use the company based right across from Lambeau Field. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link in the description of this video or at cheeseheadtv.com. Also want to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. Get your joints game day ready. Stop into ThetaCare Walk-In Orthopedic Care in Appleton or Oshkosh. They'll get you back in the game quickly with no appointment needed. Just walk in. Learn more at thetacare.org/orthonow. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, how we doing? How we living? How we learning? How we loving? Anthony Boyd, thank you for becoming the Care of the G Club member, man. I really appreciate the support. Thank you, sir. I know we got stuff to talk about there, Anthony. I'm going to be doing that next week, probably. Looking forward to it. E4, how are you, sir? Kudos to Spain. Everyone kept to their assignments. Second goal shows how much one brain fart on D can hurt you. That'll never happen with the pack. That's right. No moments in the secondary of pointing and saying, I thought you had him. But you're right. They got punished. France got punished for that one moment. People got caught ball watching and it was over. That's tough, man. It's a tough way to live. But yes, congrats to Spain. Talk about a tough side. Played a hell of a match. No question about it. Grimpy, hello. Welcome. Saw a top 10 QB list and J-Lo wasn't on that list. Hope that drives him to a 2026 MVP season. Go Pack, go. Grimpy, where you been? I've been talking about this for the last couple days. But yes, hopefully, that is fuel for the fire, so to speak, for one Jordan Love. Luke Carnes, how are you, sir? Thank you so much for the super chat. Very serious question here. If you could have a beer with one current and past Packer, who would it be? That is a very serious question. Past, probably Johnny Blood or Max McGee. One of the two. Both of them Hellraisers. Both of them know how to have a good time, right? A current Packer to have a beer with? Man, you know, I don't know. It's tough. I don't see many of these guys as beer drinkers. I'll go with Jagger Burton. How about that? Break the ice. Welcome to the NFL. How you doing? Have a beer and talk some ball. That's I think would be a good time. Juan, how are you? Thanks so much for the super chat. How can the offense go back to 2020, 2021? Great question. Something we talked about, I want to say about a month ago, regarding LaFleur's comments at the owners' meetings, talking about stripping the offense down, right? Going back to basics and trying to build it back up again. And probably sifting through a little bit of the stuff that's been added on, mutated, as it were, things they've maybe leaned into that haven't been as successful as they hoped it would. I think they've got the components to do everything they did in 2020. Some of that, of course, has probably gone by the wayside because of defensive tendencies, things that defenses do now that maybe they weren't doing back then to kind of stem the tide or take away things that the Packers were doing well. I remember asking Matt this exact question, I think I want to say in like 2023, because the offense was noticeably different, right? Especially when it came to motion, the types of motion they were using. You know, Matt made the point, and I think he's right. You know, each and every offseason is so different as far as what defenses are taking away from your tape and what you're trying to do on offense, what you lean into, where your strengths are. So as an offensive designer, you're trying to stay ahead of what you suspect they're going to do to take things away. One of the things that always kind of bugged me was they were so successful that stretch you're talking about with a lot of the shallow cross stuff, right? It was something they did very, very well. And it looked like they got away from it. And that was the case. And Matt mentioned it because he said NFL defenses have spent the last couple off seasons really trying to make it a priority to take that, not just away from the Packers, but from NFL offenses in general, because people were really making hay with it. So I think there's a cyclical nature to all of this. That is, you're going to see elements from offenses that have been successful under LaFleur, probably maybe not return in a big way, but you'll probably see, I would suspect, things that, oh, I remember when they ran that against XYZ, or when they ran it in this game against that defense, whatever. They'll find moments, but I don't think you're ever going to see, oh, we've just got to go back to that playbook, because teams at this point have studied it and broken it down and figured out where the weaknesses are to attack them, right? It's never holistic. There's always kind of a bit piecemeal, but I do think, like I said, I'm heartened by LaFleur's comments talking about looking back on the offense and trying to figure out which core principles they can lean into and build off of, and where the fat is that they can kind of excise and get rid of and not return to. Here's hoping. Here's very much hoping. Joe, how are you, man? Interior defensive line should be more stout than it was in 2025 when Colby Wooden and Carl Brooks played the most snaps. It's where defense starts. Could not agree more, man. And look, that's no knock on either of those guys, but you are 100% correct. When Colby Wooden is your mainstay as a defensive tackle / nose tackle, you're probably going to get pushed around. And they did a lot of the time. So I'm with you. I think there's more talent there. There should be more talent and more upside, high end upside, with the rotation that they'll be using. But it will be just that. It will still be a rotation. All of those guys need to do a lot more kind of consistent work up front. What's up, Kerry Bishop? How are you? Dale, Indiana. Shout out, Indiana. Hope you're doing well, man. Joe. Johnny Blood and Max McGee wouldn't have survived in the social media world. You're probably not wrong, sir. Probably not wrong. Especially Max. All that curfew breaking, partying, night of a game. God bless him, man. God bless Max McGee. Dean, thanks for being a Carry the G Club member. Really appreciate you, man. Assuming he wins the starting job, who do you think has the advantage going into week one, Murray or Gannon? Thanks for what you guys do. Go Pack, go. Man, that's an interesting question. Of course, both of those guys probably know quite a bit about each other. I would suspect Gannon, only because of the things that we saw throughout Murray's time in Arizona, the way his game really tailed off. Without question, he wants to prove a point, right? Assuming he wins the gig, he is going to want to have a great performance against Gannon's defense. Where he gets some help, obviously, is A, you're playing at home, it's week one, a lot of unscouted stuff. But yeah, he's got KOC as a play caller, as a game designer. That is not insignificant. So the question is, can he play within the structure of the offense? That's something he really struggled to do there those last couple of years in Arizona. It's there for him, I would say, because of the skill position players around him, starting with Justin Jefferson, right? He will have the structure available. Can he stick with it? Can he stick in it? Can KOC kind of tame him, so to speak? Get him to play on time, another issue that he had in Arizona. It's a tough start for Gannon. When you've got a group of guys who haven't played in this system, this is week one, playing on the road, that offense is going to have a bit of an advantage in that regard. So yeah, I do think Gannon undoubtedly knows every nook and cranny of Kyler's weaknesses, where he can try to take advantage of him, tendencies he might be able to lay traps for, but I think the scale is probably weighted a little bit in Murray's favor, simply because of the surroundings and the situation that he has play caller wise and teammate wise. Rob Kress, What an odd question. Prime Darren Sharper or prime Nick Collins? Oh, it's Nick Collins all day, every day. And that's without anything having to do with the off-field stuff, the horrific shit that Sharper pulled. Just as players, Nick Collins was a better player. And I don't think that's controversial. I think Sharper was talented and clearly did some, you know, good stuff at safety in Green Bay, but Nick Collins was on track to be a Hall of Famer. I wouldn't say the same for Darren Sharper. Dean, you're welcome, man. Thanks so much for checking in. Oh, did the NFL ruin the onside kick? I wouldn't say so. I think they've ruined the surprise onside, which I hate, you know, because of the new kickoff rules and needing to declare and et cetera. I loved the surprise onside. It's one of my all-time favorite plays. Two of the greatest ever were Mike McCarthy starting off that game in New England back in 2010 with a surprise onside. And then, of course, the Saints in the Super Bowl coming out in the second half with a surprise onside. It was such a great play. It was such a great play. And now it no longer exists. They've ruined that. Brandy, you're not wrong there. Seems a healthy Watson opens everything up. Very much so. And what is going to be fascinating to see is, we all know, we've talked about it, feels like forever here, about the difference in the offense in general, not just how it looks, because it certainly looks different, but just, you know, metrics wise, they score more points when Watson's on the field, even if he's not touching the football. Just his presence changes how defensive coordinators have to play the Packers. Now, what is going to be fascinating is if we actually get, and knock on wood we do, Watson, Reed, Golden, Kraft, Jacobs all on the field together, which we haven't seen yet. You know, that would be really exciting, especially because Watson keeping people honest. That is going to be fascinating to watch play out. But yes, his presence opens up a lot of avenues for a lot of his teammates. Charlie. Bears or Lions, bigger threat to the Packers? That's a good question, man. I suspect the Bears, actually. And that's not to dismiss the Lions. I think they're talented. I think they're well coached. I do not doubt for a moment they are going to be gunning for the Packers this year because we swept them last year. But I think the Bears have a way of working against the Packers now that has seemed pretty productive and successful given the three games they played last year. I know the Packers won the first game, but man, the Bears were storming back in that second half. Clearly the Packers had control of that second game and the third game, obviously, but the Bears never backed down, and the Bears certainly took advantage of both opportunities that were afforded to them, but they created some of their own as well. You know, I think Ben Johnson, he's got a bead on the Packers in a way that maybe Matt LaFleur didn't expect last year. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of adjustments get made. And obviously the biggest challenge there is Dennis Allen and how he just flipped the script in the second half of that playoff game and really stymied LaFleur's offense. Does he come out like that? Does he start right from the get-go blitzing those defensive backs and really playing with the protections and trying to throw Jordan Love off his rhythm? Just, you know, stop the run on the way to the quarterback, which is essentially what they did in the second half of that game. With the Lions, again, their offense is undoubtedly going to be explosive. But I think given what the Packers are able to do, both offensively and defensively, to hopefully keep that offense minimized a bit and on the sideline, I'm not saying that either one, they're both dangerous, but I would probably say the Bears are going to be the tougher out. That's just me. Your mileage may vary. Luke, how are you, man? Thanks for checking out the stream on Facebook. Would you go over some need to know for a fan going to training camp for the first time with family, kids hoping to get autographs? What time should we get there, etc.? Early, Luke, real early. If you want decent seats and, you know, you want to be able to see the action, so to speak, when they actually do the 11-on-11 stuff, practices all start at 10:30 a.m. I would get there probably 8:30. I know it's a long time with the kids, but even then, you're still probably going to have to be, you know, working to get a really good seat. And you want to be closer to the rec center. The closer you are to the rec center, the probably the better your view is going to be of a lot of the, not just the teamwork, but also just the offensive drills. A lot of the defensive drills happen on the other end. I think usually the kids want to see, you know, the guys with the football. So as far as autographs and things like that, Dream Drive is probably your best bet. Lots of guys still ride bikes and lots of guys stop and sign autographs. Again, early, though, I can't stress it enough. And there's a bit of waiting around. And the other question, you know, that I don't know the answer to is, how old are you talking? Like, when you talk kids, are you talking like 5, 6? You're talking 2, 3? It's a little different, you know. But overall, yeah, just get there early, be patient. And if you want to make sure, like, you want an autograph, like, that is the one thing the kids want more so than to even watch practice. Yeah, just stick around after practice. Like, if you kind of get out, you'll know when they're winding down practice. You'll leave a little bit early, get into Dream Drive, get on the, there's a, you know, two lines on either side of the street, kind of waiting for the guys to get back from practice. The most guys, you know, will stop at least once or twice every single practice, and you'll undoubtedly get somebody to sign something for you. Helps if your kids are cute. I'll say that. No doubt about it. And have a fun sign or something. Usually gets guys' attentions. Let's see what we got here. Yes, protection for love is the key, not just against the Bears, but hell, against everybody. I mean, he's shown without question, you keep Jordan Love clean, he's going to destroy you. He's going to pick a defense apart. That has been proven time and time again. That's an interesting question. Hey, Nags, if the Packers were to hypothetically trade a player to get a first rounder back next season, who could that be? Man, crazy. Micah Parsons. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I kid. A first round pick? That's tough, man. I mean, pass rushers, corners, if they're elite, and maybe a quarterback. I don't know that you're going to want to give any of those away. You know, now, Lucas Van Ness breaks out, you know, he has a monster season. Maybe you get a third round pick. You know, there's just a few blue chip, surefire, I want to send a first round pick to the Packers for him type players on the team that they would willingly give up, right? You're not going to trade Jordan Love. You know, that it's just, I wouldn't suspect that any team would make that call for any kind of realistic return. That's just me. Now, again, who knows what happens throughout the season? Someone like Tucker Kraft has a monster year and someone calls and said, we'll give you a first round pick. Even then, though, I don't see someone giving away a first round pick for a tight end. But hell, crazier shit has happened. John Schneider gave up, what, 2 firsts for a safety who couldn't cover. So anything is possible. All it takes is one GM. Andrew Ware, how are you, man? I just want the offense we saw late 2021. Don't we all, brother? Don't we all? We shall see. Again, it's about maybe not returning to the roots, but finding the stuff that has worked for LaFleur and company throughout his time in Green Bay. And, you know, looking around the league, seeing what's working, seeing what's effective against certain types of defenses and certain personnel and things like that. I will say what's going to be fascinating is to see the league really clearly turning towards multiple tight end stuff. Do the Packers follow suit? Feels like they're going to zig when everyone else is zagging on this one, you know, especially given all the draft capital utilized by teams to get tight ends this year. Feels like the Packers are going to be very different in that regard, but we'll see. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. Cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.